we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We're here and ready to go for another week, and pray that you are having a great day. And we had a wonderful day yesterday. Close to two dozen kids were blessed with new school shoes, and the donations came in to make all of that possible. So we want to thank you. Thank those listeners who made that possible, as well as the people from Merritt Assembly of God. So we want to come to you today, and I was preparing this morning before I came into the studio here, and I just encourage you today to look for someone that you can encourage today. Maybe somebody that you can just give a compliment to, somebody who does a good job at work. There's a lot of negative input that goes into people's lives. And at our Mornings Matter Growth Workshop here in August, Duke Matlock brought up a statistic that said it takes 8 positive comments to undo the effects of 1 negative comment. 8 positives to undo the effects of 1 negative. And a lot of times what I have noticed is, even though there may have been positive, 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 you don't build up a bank of that. A negative comes along and all of a sudden it sets you back, and then you start filling in that hole. Friday on the Refresh Radio broadcast here, I was talking about every valley being exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. Those valleys are those depressing places, or the depressed places in between mountaintop experiences. So there can be testimonies that you have that will help sustain you through. It talks about bringing the mountains low and filling the valleys up. And so if you have a testimony, it can help alleviate some of those depressed areas where maybe you're not as high as you once were emotionally or spiritually or energetically, but you're not as bad as you could have been. So today I want to encourage you, be on the lookout for somebody that you can speak something positive into your life today. And with that in mind, I want to recommend to you Jits Concrete, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call. They've been doing this professionally for several decades here in Brevard County. Their family is one of the few that predate us at Merritt Assembly of God. We got a few folks that spent time at Merritt Assembly before we got there, and these people do excellent, excellent work, and they will do a great job for you as well. So I spent a lot of time looking at Isaiah chapter 40, and all of a sudden I began to realize that this chapter identifies God to a people in a way that it describes who he is. It gives them a concise little picture of the nature of God and how he operates. So I'm just going to give you a couple of things that I wrote down after we went through these other portions of Isaiah chapter 40. In verse number 1, it identifies God as God the Comforter. In verse number 2, it identifies him as God the Forgiver. Down in verse number 5, these are verses we've already covered, so I'm not going to go back and detail these, but he is God the Glorious. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He is a glorious God. If you don't believe that he's a glorious God, I encourage you to read through the scriptures and see how men react when they encounter just one of his messengers. And then watch how those messengers react to him. Read the book of Revelation, Isaiah chapter 6, and see how they respond to the presence of God. He is a glorious, glorious Lord. I want you to know he is not just a, and how do I want to describe this? He's not just a blank canvas crutch that we lean on. He is a glorious God. He sits upon his throne in majesty and power and beauty. And so I want to describe to you today that God wants us to mature from glory to glory. He wants to transform us by the renewing of our mind. And we with unveiled face beholding as from glory to glory. So I want to encourage you today to be real with God and allow him to reveal himself to you in greater glory than you've ever seen him before. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 10. And it says, we're going to read verses 10 and 11 here this morning. It says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." So if I was going to put a title on this, I would describe it as God the Ruling Shepherd. God the Ruling Shepherd. He describes here that he will come with a strong hand. God is a God of strength. He is the omnipotent, the almighty. He is the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. He is not a weak and impotent God. We oftentimes see in our society how many times that bad news gets proclaimed, glorified. You know, a tragedy happens and it makes headlines because it captivates people's attention. But the truth of the matter, first few hours here with my new mouth this morning, the first of the matter, somebody contact the Oxford Dictionary and have them put a new word in there. The fact of the matter is that God does more good things every single day than the devil does bad. It's just that the world focuses on the bad news because it is more captivating for people's attention. But I'm here to tell you that God is constantly operating, and that enemy is a defeated foe. The devil is a defeated foe. He has been defeated by Jesus Christ. He thought that he had the ultimate victory with Jesus' death on the cross, but instead it turned into his ultimate defeat. And it says in the scriptures that if he had known what God had in mind through the crucifixion, he never would have crucified Jesus. So I want you to trust in God, your ruling shepherd. When he wants to sit up on the throne of our lives, it's because he knows what he's doing and he knows his plans for us. And it is in our best interest for us to get off the throne and to allow him to sit upon the throne and rule and do what he does best, and that is govern our lives the same way he governs all of creation. So in verse number 10, the third part of the verse, it says, "Behold, his reward is with him." Behold, his reward is with him. A lot of times we can become a little bit on the short-sighted things. We focus on getting something accomplished. And so we tend to define the reward as, okay, I got that prayer answered. I was working for this person to get saved and they gave their heart to him. I was praying for this person to be healed and they were healed. And so we see the outcome, the byproduct, and we think that that is the reward. It says, "Behold, his reward is with him." I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, and just I'll remind us today of what the reward actually is. And Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" I want you to see that. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. With that scripture in mind, we can see that while God does answer our prayers, while he does save the lost, while he does heal the infirmed and does mighty and miraculous things, the reward is actually the relationship, the personal relationship that we have with Jesus. He is the reward. And what, right now I've got something going through my mind, and you know, when I said yes to the call of God and going wherever he wanted me to go, and I truly have done that. Not one time have I ever taken a job in the ministry and asked what the compensation package was. Because I knew that if I was exactly where God wanted me, that God was going to take care of me. And I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that there were serious times when those principles were challenged. My first position in ministry was not a lucrative position. This was back in the mid-80s. And, you know, that's a time when most people in our country were making more and more money. If you look at societal ways that describe the 80s, it was a decade of excess. There was all sorts of money going around and all sorts of money being made, and people were thriving. But the reality was I brought home $86 a week. And that was working 70 hours. That's not a lot of money. But the reward was not in the paycheck. The reward is being exactly where God wanted me to be and doing exactly what he wanted me to do. Part of the benefit of doing that and being right in the center of God's will, which is the sweetest spot that you can ever be, is I got to meet the young lady who would become my wife. And we got married in the mid-80s. We got married, and the reward is not our children. The reward is that she and I get to have a relationship. We get to have a journey together, and I will tell you, I don't know that I've ever shared this story before. I wasn't, for the first time in my life, I wasn't looking for someone to fall in love with. I was just in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden he said, "I've got somebody that I want you to make this journey through life with." And I was praying for a young lady in our youth group to be saved. And all of a sudden God interrupted that prayer for someone's salvation, and he gave me a word, and I still remember the word to this day. And he said, "I'm going to take the thread of your life and the thread of Cindy's life, and I'm going to weave them into a beautiful tapestry that together it is going to be more beautiful than you ever could have imagined on your own." And so the reward is the relationship that we have. It's not that we are abounding in financial resources. We're not there yet. We're not concerned about that, because in heaven there are no electric bills. Hallelujah. In heaven there are no mortgages. Hallelujah. In heaven there's no property insurance or property taxes. There's no debt of any kind. And so the financial aspect of life, now I believe that we are going to abound in this life as well in the life to come. We have given sacrificially and all of that, but that's not our reward. Our reward is we get to passionately pursue the heart of God together. And so just as my relationship with my wife is the reward that we have of our relationship together, so it is with our relationship with Jesus. He's the reward. But when we are in relationship with him, when we recognize the tremendous treasure that a born-again, committed, covenant relationship with God is, then his entire entourage comes with him. All of his blessings, all of his promises, all of his healings, everything comes with the reward. It says in the scriptures that if God did not withhold his only son, how will he not also give us all everything that we have need of? He has given us everything in this life that pertains to life and godliness. All of that is secondary. The reward is the relationship with Jesus. So don't settle for just the tangible outcomes or the external secondary benefits of the relationship and miss the primary purpose of the relationship with Jesus, and that is to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I believe it was Peter Lord who said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the relationship with Jesus is the main thing. So one more passage about the reward, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I want to share with you that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the vehicle that God has given to us that makes it possible for us to please him. Okay? Faith is the vehicle that God has given to us that enables us to please him. And so without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Do you believe that God is your shepherd today? And do you believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, get this, seek him? He says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. He's not far away. He's very near. He has positioned you exactly where you are. Acts chapter 17 says that God has chosen the times and the locations where we are to live so that perhaps men will grope for him, that they will be desiring for him, reaching out for him, and he's not very far away. He is very, very near you. So he is the reward. Today, it is not just a good job that is your reward. It is not just health in your body. It is not any of those things. Those are all secondary benefits that come from the ultimate reward, and that is having our relationship with God, which was broken by our own willful, deliberate sin nature, reconciled and restored. And so we need to remember that. And his work before him. So just as John the Baptist came to prepare, I want you to know that God works in people's lives to prepare them. You may be wondering, why hasn't this person given their life to Jesus yet? Why have they not said yes to the Lordship of Jesus? I want you to begin to, in faith, declare what God has said, that he is working in their life, that he is working in your life, that he is preparing us for our next breakthrough, that he is preparing us to be ready for when the reward manifests like it's never manifest before. I've experienced such mighty outpourings of God in my own life that, in all honesty, anything less than what I've already experienced isn't satisfactory anymore. We need the presence of God. One of the breakthrough sermons that God ever gave to me was the story of Leah and how God turned her turmoil into triumph. And an interesting part in that story is, even though Leah was very productive, Rachel, who had Jacob's heart, Jacob loved Rachel. And yet Leah's son brought in some mandrakes out of the field, which in ancient culture was an aphrodisiac. And Rachel said, "I need those mandrakes, and I'm willing to give up a night with my husband in order to have those mandrakes." Let me tell you something. Aphrodisiacs without a husband isn't going to produce children. It's just a fact. And so Leah said, "You know what? Those are a gift from my son, but I tell you what, I will trade everything." Now, Jacob was married to both of these women. That's kind of weird. And I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. But she said, I will give up everything just to have one more night with Jacob. Let's not sacrifice the presence of God for another program. Let's be desirous of what the ultimate goal is, and that is the reward of God, and that reward is his presence. Verse number 11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." I want to talk to you about that last part there, because when I read that, I'm reminded of the journey that Jacob was making back from Laban. He was coming back with his two wives, his two concubines, and a whole slew of children, and God had blessed him. Every time Laban changed his wages, God blessed him anyway. And so he went away by himself. He came back with an entire household that became an entire nation, and he came back extremely wealthy as well. And Esau said, "You know, come with me." And Jacob said, "No, you have to understand, I have to be very careful in the way that I lead the shepherds. I can't overdrive them. I've got to lead them gently. I don't want any of them to be lost on the journey." And I want you to know that God knows exactly what he's doing when he leads us. It says, "For he will gather the lambs with his arm and he will carry them in his bosom." One of my favorite memories, as I sat here this morning, and actually I've got a little smile on my face and some goosebumps on my arm as I share this, but one of my favorite memories now in my 50s is when my kids were little and they could fall asleep any place and they would be so tired, so sleeping so soundly, that they couldn't make the journey to their bed. And I would pick them up and hold them in my arms, and they'd just lay their head there and they would sleep. They never knew when they moved. They didn't exercise any strength whatsoever. They just woke up the next morning in their bed because I'd carried them there. And I want you to know that I don't think it's right that that little boy that I held in my arms is now about 5 to 6 inches taller than I am. God and I are going to have a talk about that one of these days. Just kidding. But I can't carry that boy in my arms anymore, but I get to carry my grandchild in my arms now. And God knows exactly what he's doing. If you are young, allow him to carry you. If you are mature because it goes on. You're not intended to stay immature all of your Christian walk. You are intended to, at some point in time, become fruitful. And that's what it concludes with here in this section in verse number 11. It says, and gently lead those who are with young. Those are the members of the flock who are now being fruitful and productive, and they are reproducing their DNA, their spiritual DNA, in the life of others. I want you to actually take a moment and assess yourself and assess your church, and I'm hoping to create just a little bit of spiritual discontentment today in this sense. How long has it been since you led another person to Jesus? You know what Rachel's cry was to Jacob? It was, give me children, lest I die. She had all of the externals, but she didn't have the fruitfulness, and she said, this lack of fruitfulness is killing me. And I wonder if we haven't become so complacent and accepted the place that society has told us is normal, and that is that we are not seeing the kingdom of God grow the way that God wants it to grow. And today I want to ask you, look at yourself. How long has it been since you led someone to Jesus? How long has it been since you shared your testimony? And let's change that time frame. Let's make it not a historical event. Let's make it a now process. How long has it been since someone gave their heart to Jesus at your church? And so we're celebrating because here just a couple of weeks ago, we had another person on their first visit to Merit Assembly of God. They gave their heart to Jesus. We're extremely grateful, extremely thankful about that. And I think we had 7 salvations at Merit Assembly of God this summer, from May until September. And you say, well, 7's not very many. Our church had more people that got saved. Listen, I'm not here to compare. I'm just saying, you know, we had almost one-seventh of our congregation, a sixth to a seventh, are born again this summer, and we're very thankful for that. Let's win someone to Jesus. Be an encouragement to someone today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an